Amen. Thank you so much. Well, if the young people, teenagers, fall asleep in the church service tonight, just leave them alone and don't wake them up, all right? They covered the entire town of Jasonville this afternoon with revival flyers. Every single house in Jasonville got a revival flyer on the door today. So they must have done some hustling to do that. That was pretty amazing. So you didn't get one? Well, sometimes if it's a lost cause, they just... I'm surprised they weren't in there begging food or raiding the refrigerator or something. So, but thank you, young people. I do appreciate that so much. And boy, that's the big thing coming up this Sunday. I can't wait. I can't wait. And Dr. David James will come. And I'm just anticipating. We're praying towards that, aren't we? And anticipating the blessing of God upon this meeting. And folks, listen, I don't know about you, but I constantly need to be stirred up. I constantly need to be stirred up. And these type of things will hopefully just do that for our whole church. And so we got the word out, and that's good. We appreciate it. So we still have a lot of flyers in the back, and just grab some of them on your way out. Now, right now is the window of opportunity. Now between Sundays, a good time to be able to get the word out and make those contacts concerning our end times prophecy seminar, and that'll be good. It'll be a good deal. All righty. Of course, we had our choir practices, and I peeked in on both of them, and I always come through and try to help the young people sing, and they're usually glad when I get all the way through. And the children's choir, I peeked in there. And they're doing the, oh, come, 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 come. That was good. And I enjoyed that. Joined in them for a few minutes, messed them all up, and then went on. And so everything was good. Master's Club's going on, so let's continue to pray for them. They're meeting right now, Master's Club. And I think I've told Brother Frank this. We need to get word to all of them. There's no Master's Club next week. We're going to have everyone in here to hear Dr. James. And so... that'll be good. 9:15 this Saturday, adult visitation and soul winning. And so we're looking forward to that. VBS sign-up list. If you haven't signed up, please sign up. I'd like to have folks signed up by Sunday, and that would help us be able to do some planning. So VBS sign-up list is on the back bulletin board. And, of course, in your bulletin, we've got some things coming up. Well, actually, I don't think it was in last week's bulletin. May is going to be a great month. May is going to be a great month. It just is. We kick it off with that Grace Prophecy Revelation Seminar, and then, of course, we're going to have the Churchwide Family Day, and I hope that you'll get involved in that. That'll be a good time. And then on Mother's Day, we'll have Brother Steve Epley, Evangelist Steve Epley, and his family as our guest for the Sunday morning service. May 19th, Blessed Hope Baptist School graduation. Hallelujah. May 21st, we're going to have missionary Stu Overmiller going to South Africa, and he'll be here in the morning on May 21st, and then May 28th, you talk about ending the month with a bang, we'll have Colonel Tyler Ryberg will be our guest for God and Country Sunday on May 28th, so that's going to be fantastic. So that's good. Now let me have you add to your prayer list. Nope, I don't think you got one tonight. That's okay. There's a lot going on, and you'll understand more of why we were scrambling today. Because we've got some prayer requests, so you'll just need to jot this down on something, please. But we have Sister Connie Asbury is going to go in for an echogram. When is that again, Brother Joe? I didn't write down when.
May
11th. Let me just be very honest with you. This lady's having a tough time. Even just walking from one room to another in her home, it is a struggle. They don't know all that's going on, but we need to pray, and we will intensify our prayers for you, Sister Connie. I'd like to meet with all of the pastoral staff and our deacons in the conference room. We're going to anoint her with oil after the service and have a prayer time for healing and God's grace and mercy upon Sister Connie right after the service. So, deacons, if you'll meet with the pastoral staff back here, that will be good. And then Brother Chuck Williford has found out... in the last few weeks, he's getting different reports, but his father is not very well at all. And matter of fact, he and Lori and Sarah are heading to North Carolina in the morning. And I think when he gets down there, you'll have a little better handle on all that's going on. But there, he's fighting cancer. It seems to be some indications that it was wider spread than they initially thought. and he's just not doing very good right now. So they're going to head to North Carolina in the morning, and that's Brother Chuck Williford's father. And could you give me his name?
Charles.
It is Charles. Okay, Charles Williford. If you'll please remember to pray for him and then for Chuck and Lori and Sarah as they traveled down. And then I just called Carol and Christina Altizer and talked to Sister Carol. And Christina is going back to Indianapolis tomorrow for a clinical visit, a checkup. And so let's pray. But she said both of them are making progress. She's still having to take pain medication, Sister Carol is. And Sister Christina is just kind of hanging in there but improving steadily. And they're just so thankful for our prayers. And she said, oh, I wish we could be there tonight. And I said, well, I think you're probably exactly where you ought to be tonight. So they're going to hunker down for a little bit longer. So I wanted to catch up on that. So let's pray, Sister Connie Asbury and Brother Chuck's dad, and for Carol and Christina, continue to pray for them. And then Sister Penny, you're going to go through tomorrow morning. Is that right? And you want to explain again about, to the folks understand what you're having done? Yeah, the thyroid has been really almost more of a concern than, believe it or not, the heart stent. But do you want to share that testimony about what the doctor shared with you concerning the two heart stents? Initially going in thinking they were going to fix a 50% one and end up getting in there and realizing it was a lot worse and almost didn't do the procedure. I mean, not questionable. So, boy, isn't it good that the Lord knows more than any of us about what's going on? And so anyway, I thought that was just something. Boy, the Lord watches over us, doesn't even take care of us, but she's going in for this tomorrow. And so if you'll remember to pray, there's always plenty to pray about. Also in the back for you, we have The Coming Destruction of the Baptist People. That book is available for $5. I'll tell you what, if you are a thinker, honestly, and if you're not, you probably, you know, if all you read is comic books, don't bother buying the book. But if you're a thinker and you want to know a little bit about what's happening and you want to pull your head out of the sand and understand what is happening and why, listen, we are becoming slowly but steadily watered down, and pretty soon the average, and this is almost true now, honestly, the average Baptist church is almost turned into what any other ecumenical church would be out there. I mean, we're knocking on doors in Worthington and having people that attend a Baptist church over there arguing with our young people that you can't know for sure whether or not you're going to heaven when you die. Now, what has happened? I mean, there used to be 50 years ago some staples. No matter if it was Southern American Baptist, whatever it was, you walked in, there were certain things that everybody in the pew and the pulpit knew. And we're being slowly destroyed, watered down, and weakened, and you ought to read that. Really, we need to understand. You know, there's some things your preacher keeps hammering on, and if you don't know what's going on, you're going to say, well, what? I don't know why he keeps talking. Why is that such a big deal? If you don't know why it's such a big deal, you've been severed from your Baptist heritage. You really have. And you need to get reconnected to that. So anyway, that'll be good. And then also we've got a few of our school yearbooks back there for sale. Don't have a big surplus of them, but there's a few for sale, and they're $20. So make yourself available to those things. Tonight, when we take our offering, if you want to give to the building fund or missions, you want to put that in an envelope, okay? Because everything that comes in loose, and I'm going to let you know this, we are this week down at the radio station, Will You Trust Jesus, WYTJ. They're having their share-a-thon. And some of you probably heard Pastor Jerry on the radio this afternoon. I'm so sorry. I had no idea how I got there. No idea what I was doing when I got there. But I did know what to do once it was over. Get out of there. That's exactly what I did. And so, but I want to take an offering. And folks, I don't know how many of you listen to this. There's probably not too many days go by that sometime during the day I don't flip that on and get to hear a little bit of Christian radio. You know, it's a miracle that we have that in this area. Out in the middle of the boondocks, rural Indiana, where really there should be nothing, all of a sudden we have another tool that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, shoots the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. And so anyway, we're going to take our an others offering tonight, and I want you to just pray about it as we always do. You give according to as God leads you, but whatever is collected here at Blessed Hope tomorrow, we're going to call in first thing in the morning, and we're going to see that they receive that to help with the expenses of the radio station down there. So anyway, it's good. Praise the Lord. All right.
327. Number 327, we'll sing the first and last verse. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven abound. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
211. 211. Whosoever meaneth me. Number 211.
I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will, may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, oh, his name be praised. His glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free. His blood hath made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pine, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me.
All right. Kyle, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a chance to come together and meet in your house, Lord, and just hear some preaching, Lord. Just ask that you be the offering, the gift and the givers. We take it up, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. appreciate that. Let's go to the book of Philippians. We're going to spend a little bit more time in the book of Philippians tonight. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Let's all stand tonight for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We'll begin reading there in verse number 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this, an opportunity just on Wednesday night to teach through the precious, precious Word of God. And Lord, this has been a tremendous book. Lord, it's touched my heart in so many ways, and challenged me and encouraged me and at times convicted me. And Lord, thank you for all those things. And tonight, Lord, we want your presence here with us, please. We need to hear from heaven. We, Lord, want to feel, Lord, your presence and hear what we ought to hear so that we can be what we ought to be. Now, bless our time here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 12. I read verse 12 through 16 bravely, as if I had any intention of covering all of them. And So if we get 12 and 13 done tonight, that will probably be wonderful. But boy, there's a lot packed in these verses. You know, what we're going to do is, I don't know about you, I couldn't be a vegetarian. I apologize if you're here and you're that kind of a person. I have no problem. We've got a definition around here that floats around here for a vegetarian. A vegetarian is a bad hunter. Yeah, that's right. If you're a poor hunter, then that's what we figure is the definition of a vegetarian. But I don't know about you. I like to walk into the house or out there in the backyard. I like the smell of meat grilling and grilling meat. And I feel like that's what we do here on Wednesday night. We just kind of listen, folks. Let's get into the meat of God's Word. Let's get into some things that's going to build some strength to us and give us strength for the day. And, you know, whipped cream's tasty and it's fun, but you can't feed an army on it and expect them to be ready to do battle. Did you hear that? And so this Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday school lessons, Sunday morning adult Sunday school class, just that line upon line, precept upon precept, study of God's Word. It may not be as flashy as something else, but I'll tell you what, in the long run, it will build strength in God's people. And it will build strength in Blessed Hope Baptist Church as a whole. So, tremendous. So, let's get right into it. Now, first of all, let me give you maybe an introductory mark here, because I just think it's very interesting the way that the Lord inspires the Apostle Paul here to open verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved," and those of you that have been saved know this. For those of you that are new, when you see beloved or beloved, that's or brethren, that's always them directly. The author, God, is directly speaking to us that are saved. Okay, so a little thing to remember whenever you see a verse goes into that. Now, we know that probably we can be confident that most of the things written in this book are to Christians, just for the fact that the book of Philippians was written to a church, a local church by the name of Philippi, to be delivered and read to that church. But you know what? Just because, let me just throw this out, just because a letter's written to a church, I could take you to letters that were written to churches where Paul addresses what I believe was addressing unsaved people in the church. So this gives us an added confidence, assurance that this portion of Scripture is for people that are saved. And by the way, that's going to be very important in this particular verse. If you're not careful, you're going to get down to the bottom of this verse and be tripped up and get involved in some wrong doctrine if you don't rightly divide the word of truth. So these folks, at the beginning of this verse, have been identified as born again believers. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now, I want to just take that one little phrase there, and Paul compliments them, and I think gives them a huge compliment here before he goes into some instruction here. He said, listen, this is what he's basically saying. Of all the churches that I write letters to, let me tell you something. I have confidence in this congregation that, you know what, whether or not I am there or whether or not I am away, you know what, you are an obedient people. You are an obedient people. Now, let me just give you this because I think it's important. I think Paul was separating and identifying obedience and putting a definition on obedience because, folks, I think that there's two main types of obedience. Let me just give you this little thought in our introduction. I think there's two main types of obedience. I think that there is man-motivated obedience, and then I think there is God-motivated obedience. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, if you could get that right there, it'd be worth every minute that you got ready. Ladies, be worth all the hours you spent in front of the mirror getting ready for tonight. And gentlemen, you rushing home from work and not eating supper, if you get that, let me tell you something. There is man-motivated obedience and God-motivated obedience. Now, let me just say this. Either one of those is better than disobedience. Let me say it again. Either one of those is better than disobedience. I mean, you know what? The Word of God says some things, and we ought to obey. But there, you know, I think there's a wonderful time in our life when we decide that we're going to obey, not because whether or not a person is there watching us or whether or not there's a person not there watching us or whether so-and-so will hear about it or not, but we get to this wonderful point in our life where our obedience is God-motivated. In other words, what Paul's saying that was amazing about this congregation, he said, listen, I can be in town, and I can be in the church, and I can be visiting your homes, and you know what? The way you live and conduct yourself then will be the same way 6 months later if I'm not there and nobody else is around. Boy, this is a great, great... Folks, listen to me. You say, well, nobody's watching. It doesn't matter. Well, my Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And if anybody matters, God matters. You see, and I think when we get to that wonderful time, that wonderful level of Christian experience where we say, you know what, I'm not obeying the Bible and I'm not obeying the truths of God's Word and I'm not trying to live a holy separated life because so-and-so will see me or this person will find out about it or because mom and dad might find, or maybe there's this rule and so I've got to do it in order to be in this group or I can't do otherwise or I can't sing in the choir or I can't do otherwise or I can't attend Blessed Hope Baptist. You know, there's got to be a point at some time. You listen to me. There's got to be a point at some times where it gets bigger than that, where something more important than that grabs a hold of your heart. And you know what you say is, listen to me. Now, if the preacher's here, great. But if he's not here, you know what? I wasn't doing it primarily for him in the first place. I was doing it for God. And if mom and dad's at home, great. But you know what? If they're not home, you know what? God's always home. Did you hear that? By the way, teenagers, God actually is in the car with you also, wherever you go, and God's with you no matter where you stop, and God's with you no matter what time of day or night it is. And so I think it's just a wonderful thing when you can put this kind of confidence in your young people or in that God can put that kind of confidence in you personally in this matter of where your motivation comes for our obedience. Now, let's get into the meat of the Word. Now, let's get right into what this whole section of Scripture is about. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Then he gives them this command, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, Brother Jerry, oh my goodness sakes, you just went crazy this weekend. And again, spent a lot of time on this matter of we're saved by grace through faith. There's no works involved in that. That's exactly right. Well, wait a minute. Here the Bible commands us, work out your own salvation. If salvation is not based on works, then what in the world is this verse talking about? Now, I'm going to give you the answer to that because I think it's important. By the way, if you have a Schofield Bible, Dr. Schofield puts a little heading on right above verse number 12, and I like this because I think it summarizes what we're going to try to teach a little bit on in the next few minutes. He says this, and there's a little title above verse 12 where he says, the outworking of the inworked salvation. Boy, that's good. The outworking, you got to think a little bit about this, the outworking of the inworked salvation. The outworking is something that's in progress. The inworked is something that's past tense, right? English teachers, past tense, ED, past tense. And so something has already been inworked, and now what's inworked inside of you needs to be, and by the way, this is a process that will go on throughout your whole life, worked out from the inside out so that it affects you and everybody else around you. Now let me break it down in another way that maybe will make it a little easier to understand, because I want you to walk away with here understanding what happens when you get saved. Let me give you three words first of all. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now stay with me here. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. You see, in a real sense, folks, salvation, when I talk about us being saved, entirely saved. Now stay with me. Don't throw anything for a few minutes here. But I'm talking about our whole process of being justified, sanctified, and one day glorified. All of that will never occur. All of that is not completed or fully brought to fruition until we die and go on to heaven. Now let me give you a breakdown of what this is talking about. In a sense, folks, salvation, we could say, is kind of three-pronged. Now again, stay with me. Number one, when a person has been saved, when the believer has been saved, on the day, the moment they get saved and receive Christ, we are then saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. Now that's very important, because what we're talking about is positionally in front of God, as far as eternity is taken care of, we are not only saved, but we are safe. All right, so when I get saved, as far as my eternal record, my sin record, it's all taken care of. Jesus not only pays for my sin, but he goes a step farther than that. Boy, there's so many powerful things I wish we could take. He imputes, that's an amazing word, his own righteousness to my account. Now get that. Did you understand what Jesus is willing to do for you? Okay, here's my record, your record. And you know what? It's a big mess of black blotches and tries and failures and horrible sins and all of this stuff. And here's our record in heaven, our eternal record. When we get saved, what Jesus Christ does is he not only erases, forgives our sins, but then he erases all of the sin on our record, but he doesn't leave just a blank page. What he does is he imputes his own righteousness on our account, on our permanent record. So it's not a matter of going to the books that will one day open and say, where's Jerry Ross's book? Okay, let's see here and see if we can find all these sins. I know he was a rascal. And by the way, I know it too. And I know he did some, let's see in here. And all of a sudden, they're going to say, oh, look, it's all blank pages. It's all wiped clear with the blood of Jesus. It's not just going to be that. It's not just erasing our sin. When you open that book, what you're going to read about is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's credited to my record. Woo! Good night. And that's why Jesus is very effective as our intercessor. You know what? When he stands before God and answers the devil's accusation, he says, oh, wait a minute, I hear everything he's saying, but Lord, let's look at his record here. Well, looky there. Not only there is there no record of any of those sins that he keeps bringing up, but looky there, there's the righteousness of Christ on his record. That's amazing. Boy, that'll take you down the road a ways. And by the way, it's not a license to sin. We're going to talk about that. That's what a lot of times we're accused of, but that's not a license to sin, because positionally, our justification was secured on the day that we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. So in that sense, the believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. Thus, he is saved or safe, justified, just as if he'd never done it. Now, on a practical level, now let's go come back down here to earth. We're talking about our eternal record. We're talking about God's records in heaven. Now on earth, guess what? We're saved. Yes, eternally we're saved. That's taken care of. You don't have to worry about hell ever again. Heaven's your home. But guess what? The believer is being saved from the habits and dominion of sin in his life. Now, I want you to get this, because if you don't understand this, you are going to be one frustrated Christian. You say, oh, I got saved. Hallelujah, praise God. Jesus is my Savior. Woo, I don't have to worry about any things I used to do anymore. I'm going to live on the victory side the rest of my life. Yeah, okay. Come talk to me in a couple of weeks. Let me know how you're doing, all right? Now, the honest truth is, folks, what happens is the Holy Spirit then comes and indwells the believer, and he is in the process of helping us being saved, not eternally saved from our sin, that's done, but to save us from this habit, the habits of sin that are ingrained in our lives, the dominion of sin that has had reign in our life. That's the sanctification process. Are you watching this? Justified. Boy, that happens in an instant, and you know what? That's forever, and it affects all eternity, and you don't have to worry about anything. But guess what? I got to live out the rest of my time here on earth, and in that time, my goal, boy, I want you to get this, my goal is to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. What's that mean? I want to work with the Holy Spirit of God, because we're going to find out that it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This isn't something he says, okay, now fine, I saved you. You work it out, buddy. He says, listen, I'll join with you. I'll partnership with you. I'm that comforter that'll come along beside, and I'm going to help you face each of these weak areas of your life and each besetting sin in your life. And one at a time, I'm going to stay with you here, and I'm going to help you. Now listen, you got to work at it, and you got to try also. And well, you know, there's like these, you know, some people almost have the attitude where their sin is God's fault. When somebody's confronted with their sin, they want to say, well, you know, God just hasn't taken that away from me yet. God hasn't taken that away from me yet. God hasn't taken that away from me yet, as if it's God's fault that they still have this. Now listen, what God is saying is, listen, I'll partner with you, but I'm not going to do it all by myself. I'll give you the strength to do it. But listen, in the struggle comes growth. And sanctification is a step at a time where more and more, what's the goal, Brother Jerry? The goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ so that my life perfectly reflects Jesus Christ. Oh, but that's so far away. I know. So don't throw your hands up. What you're going to do is tomorrow try to take another step, and you're going to face another weakness, another sin, or maybe there's something not that you're doing that you shouldn't do, but maybe it's something that you should be doing that you're not doing. But in every day, I want to take at least some little progress, some small step towards being more Christ-like. That's the goal. That's what it's all about. That's the Christian life. That's everything, you see. And so that process is going on, and that's what this verse is talking about. Now, what are you going to do, Brother Jerry? We're going to struggle, and sometimes we'll take setbacks, and we'll keep going, hopefully, and keep going. And you say, will we ever get there? Yes, we will. You mean one of these days we're going to get there where we are absolutely, perfectly reflect the presence and the glory and the perfectness of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Yes, we will. The only problem is there's a catch. You either have to die or you have to have heard the trumpet for that to happen. Now watch this, folks, because here's the two dangers. You can sit over there and say, hey, you know what? I've been justified. Hallelujah, I don't have to worry about anything. The permanent record's taken care of, and woohoo! And not only that, but one of these days, I'm going to be glorified, and then I'll be just like Jesus. And ignore, now watch this, and ignore what most of the New Testament addresses. Most of the New Testament is not about, and this may surprise you, but it's true. Most of the New Testament is not about justification. Now, there's a lot of it that is. But that's not the major theme of the entire New Testament. Most of the New Testament is not about glorification. Now, by the way, hallelujah. Thank God that there's those encouraging scriptures where it talks about the change that'll happen, and you know what, the tears will be wiped away, and the eternal city, and all of the wonderful things, and how much, oh, we just read those verses, and oh, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the most of the Bible is instructing us that once we're saved, giving us helps and commands and encouragement and admonitions and exhortations on the importance of overcoming sin in our life, the importance of Christian growth, the importance of conquering that next step of growing in this area of adding something that needs to be added, this process of Christian growth. Now, folks, listen, you can stand over here all day and shout hallelujah about you're justified and hallelujah, one of these days you're going to be glorified, but while you're shouting, when you get done shouting, God will probably just whisper in your ear, well, hallelujah back to you. But you know what? You got a journey you need to take now. And there's a lot of people that need to see that salvation that's in you worked out of you. Now, why? Is that so much for me? Well, I think in a lot of ways it is. Because as I take those steps, you know what? God's presence is more with me. And you know what? His power is greater and I learn more. And I'm closer to Him. And I get my prayers answered. And there's all kinds of reasons how it helps me. But the honest truth is, the salvation needs to be worked from the inside out. Because there's a lot of lost people that need to see what happened on the inside. And they're not going to see it if it's not worked out of me. Boy, that's good, isn't it? And so the believer has been saved through justification. You're saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. You're not only saved, but you are safe. And then the believer is being saved from the habit or dominion of sin. That's sanctification. And the believer will someday be saved from the power of sin. One day we will be wholly conformed to Jesus Christ. But that's going to happen in our glorified state after we die and leave this world, or when the trumpet sounds. And you know what? The Bible says, listen, you know what? We're going to be changed in that moment, in that instant. We're going to be changed, you know. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And I don't know about you, but I vote for that one. I just like the trumpet. I'm looking for that blessed hope. Well, I'd like one of these days to look and see it. And not just looking for it, but seeing it. And so when God does that, amen. Until then, what we can't do is, by the way, it's very interesting. Jesus commanded them, occupy till I come. Some people think that means occupy a spot. No, it's a military term. If you're going to occupy, you know, the Germans came and occupied France. What that means? It means they advanced, they took ground, they grew, they advanced, they claimed things that they didn't have before. So occupy means, hey, look, I've got to live this thing out. If Jesus doesn't come back, I've got to live this thing out. Now I can sit here and go, woo, and wave my handkerchief and talk about what's inside of me, or I could actually put the pedal to the metal. I could put my hands to the plow. I can start working this thing out and letting Jesus Christ do some things in me that He wants to do. The Holy Spirit have some control that He wants to have, and attempt some things that God wants me to attempt, and claim some territory. Claim some territory that God wants me to claim. Hey, you know what? Can I just share this with young people? I'm going to say this in a few minutes. But living out the Christian life and discovering all that God wants you to do is the most exciting life that you can live. It is the most exciting life that you can live. And boy, I don't know about you, Brother Joe, but sometimes I just in the middle of it all look around and go, man, look at this. Look what God lets me do. Look what God lets me see. Look at the miracles God lets me be a part. Wow, this is great. Now, if you want to sit over here the whole time and go, yay, still saved over here, yay. I'm not giving up anything. I'm not changing anything. I'm not going to become anything, but woo, I'm saved. Then you just go ahead. But I don't know about you. I just want to go see what's out there. I just want to see what God wants to use me to do, and how much closer I can get to Him, and how much more victory I can find, and how many more people I can help. I mean, that's the whole Christian life right there. And so, listen, I don't know where the mindset came where, you know, once you get saved, boy, that's good, you know, just sit here. No, take off for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to accomplish some things on this earth. Now, how do I do this? How do I work this out? Well, let me give you a couple things. First of all, it says this, when you're working or while you're working out your own salvation, we're talking about this second step here, the believer being saved from the habit and dominion of sin, that believer accomplishing things and claiming ground and claiming territory and learning things and becoming things. While you're in the process of doing that, the Bible says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Now, let me just give you a very, very important thought here. By the way, go in your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go ahead and turn there, because I want to give you a very important thought here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us an admonition that I think we ought to visit often. We ought to visit collectively here, and we ought to visit it privately and be reminded of this on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll direct you to a verse here in just a second. But here's all this time. Okay, all right, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to advance. I'm going to occupy. And you know what God says? Listen to me. As you're doing that, you do it with fear and trembling. Now, does that mean you're scared to take a step? That means you're scared to go on? That means you're too timid to do the next thing? You know what? I don't think that's what it's saying. I'm going to give you a couple things, though, a couple thoughts. Let me just give you the first thought that I think is part of what it means, and then I'm going to give you what I think it mostly and mainly means. What I think it partly means is this. Let me just give this to you. Christians, as you're growing, and especially the more ground you make and the farther you get along, That's all great, but let me tell you something. You need to stay scared. You need to stay scared. What does that mean, Brother Eric? It means just what I said. You need to stay scared. Because here's what happens. We start out, boy, we're not good enough. I don't know anything about this, and I can't do this, and I'll never overcome this. And then we start tasting a little victory. Wow, I did overcome that, and with God's help, and you know what? Maybe I can do this. I don't know. And hey, it worked with God's help. And then we do this, and then all of a sudden we start leaving off that with God's help part. And I can do this. And look, I did this, and I did this. And well, let me have you look at verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this: wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, I think that that's a verse you ought to have marked in your Bible. I don't think that the guy that you probably have to worry about is the guy that takes every step. The Bible says that we should walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. And literally that means while you're advancing, while you're occupying, folks, you have to watch for those hidden snares. You have to watch for those tricks and traps of the devil. Because listen, it's not like this where there's no enemy out there. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Taking it over for Jesus. You go like that, you know what? You're just an easy target for the devil. And when Dad used to take us out and taught us from little young boys to go squirrel hunting with him, and we'd get over in those near those hickory trees and where the squirrels were and white oaks, and we'd get over there and he'd say, now we're gonna have to get down there. And I'd watch him, and he'd take a step like this, and he'd test his weight, and he'd rest it over here, and then he'd take a step here, and he'd look ahead of himself, and he'd take a step here. And every time he's getting ready to play his foot down, you know why? Because he didn't want to snap a twig. He didn't want to rustle a leaf. He didn't want to accidentally kick something that's going to make a big sound. You know why? Because he's trying to get about another 50 feet, because if he can get another 50 feet, he can. By the way, that 50 feet sometimes took 20, 30 minutes to go 50 feet. Now you understand, a little boy sitting there going, what's the deal? Let's go. I mean, just good night. What are you doing, you know? And you know why? Because youth usually does not have a whole lot of patience. And you know what? When you're a young Christian sometimes, well, I want to do something for God. Let's go. And you know what? Boy, Satan sees you come and says, ah, here comes somebody. They're not watching anything. I'll knock them out. I'll wipe them out. And sometimes he does that. And so, you know, that's why a just man falls seven times, has to rise up again. That's all happened to all of us, I think, at one time or another, where the devil just decides to make a fool out of us. And it was because we didn't listen to that admonition. Listen, okay, advance, occupy, go forward for God. But buddy, you better do it with fear and trembling. And I'm talking about, I'm really not talking right now so much to young Christians, because you know what? A lot of times young Christians learn pretty quick, and they're a little scared trying. But it's when we get a few victories under our belt. It's when we get down the road a little bit. It's when we, you know what, we used to be able to have to study for 3, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours to come up with someone's sermon. Now we think, you know what, we get confident. We say, yeah, I don't need that much time. We used to think, oh man, I've got to pray for an hour. Oh, I've got to pray all during the week. I've got to get in. And we pray, and then all of a sudden we think, you know what, I can preach without praying. That's when you're in trouble. I can teach my Sunday school lesson without praying. That's when you're in trouble. You see, and all of a sudden we start doing it in the power of the flesh instead of letting God do it, because this is what the next verse is going to tell us. It says this. It says, all right, let me get back over to Philippians here. And it says this. It said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. And I think there is a little bit of a danger of overconfidence. Take heed when you think that you stand. Take heed. That's when you better watch out, because that's usually when the devil's going to get you. But I think also there's, I think probably maybe a little more stronger a message in this little phrase here. Because notice that the verse ends this way: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then verse 13 gives us kind of a reason why. For it is God which worketh in you. And could I just say this, folks? The Christian life is a very humbling and a very holy experience. Sanctification is impossible without holiness and a heart's desire to be holy. But you know, when you're talking about that, no man is going to become holy under his own efforts. And so God has to do this consistent work of redemption and redeeming work in these little areas of your life to help you. And I hope I can say this right, and I hope I can package it right. But you know what? In the midst of growing, in the midst of doing, in the midst of accomplishing, there's just an overwhelming sometimes a fear that comes upon you, or I don't know how to say it. There's almost a trembling, because in the process of doing God's work, there's times when all of a sudden you can feel the presence of Almighty God in you and around you, and you feel like, you know what? That's what, by the way, this is what to me makes it addictive. It's not accomplishing something so you can brag behind you. It's not accomplishing. It's while you're accomplishing, while you're growing, and while you're overcoming, there's a sense of the presence of Almighty God. Because pretty soon you realize, you know what? It's not me that's guiding me through this. It's not me that's giving me that's winning these victories. Yeah, God said, work it out. And then he immediately says, listen, it's me really that's working it in you. But he says, listen, don't just stand over here with your hanky. Get into it. But understand, as you see something happen, boy, stop a second and just feel the presence of God. I think that's exciting. I think sometimes, if you're called to preach, you've experienced this, where sometimes, you know what, God will get all over a message, and God will get all over a sermon, and you know what, all of a sudden, what you thought you were going to say and teach, and all of a sudden, you know, there's almost a point in time, watch this, and I'm not trying to be spooky, where sometimes in the midst of the delivery or the midst of what God's having you do, there's almost a separation from yourself, and you almost, while it's happening, can say, man, look at this. Look what God is doing. God's taking this thing over. God's taking this thing. I think that happens musically. I think sometimes I've watched our choir sometimes. And by the way, choir, let me share this with you. Every member of the choir. Oh, Brother Jerry, there's a whole bunch of us. And whether or not I show up and write with God, or whether or not I show up with my sins confessed, or whether or not I show up with the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh, no, let me tell you something. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. Well, you get a group of people that are just, I mean, God's all over them, and the Holy Spirit has filled them. And you know what? Their heart's ready, and they're hungry to see God. Listen, they're not there to perform. They're there to glorify and uplift the Savior. And I'm telling you what, buddy, I've been in places where I've seen people sing or groups sing, and the honest truth is it was very, very impressive. But I don't think God was anywhere near that place. And I've been in other places where people have gotten up, and I'm going to tell you what, the power of God fell. And if I was, and I'm not, I look every month, and I'm still not. But if I was on the singing list, and don't put me there, but if I was on the singing list, I think y'all ought to practice, but I think y'all ought to pray. Are you listening to me? Because when you get to do something that's God-anointed, And all of a sudden, God gets in it. Buddy, all of a sudden, there's almost this fear and trembling that, you know, Peter fell down, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You know, Isaiah saw the glory of God appear, and he fell on his face. I mean, when God shows up and he lets you have a little part of something, let me tell you something, that doesn't puff you up. That bows you down. It doesn't puff you up, it bows you down. Boy, so many times, I'll tell you what. I remember Brother Schindler was talking to, he has got a little singing group out there at the college, or did before the transition. He had four young people singing. And he was, by the way, they're taping, and one of their CDs. And I'll be honest with you, this is being taped. So don't let Brother Schindler hear this. And I don't want this young people to hear this. But there's four young people out there, and they made this little singing group up. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Bud, they're not the best. Two girls and two guys, and they're really not the best I've ever heard. They're probably medium range talent-wise, honestly. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. God's all over those young people. And I go out there, and they get up to sing, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm blubbering and crying and snotting and thinking, they're not even that good. And I was talking to Brother Schindler about this. I said, what's with these young people? He said, I'll tell you what, I took them to a meeting the other day, and he said, they got up to sing. He said, I didn't really pick them so much. He said, they're all decent singers. I didn't really pick them so much for their talent. I picked them because I knew that they walked with God. And he said, they got up in a meeting and they were singing. And he said, all of a sudden during the song service, the power of God fell. And he said, afterwards, they got in the van and they're all sitting in the back and it's real quiet. Finally, one of them said, Brother Schindler, what was that? What do you mean? Well, you know, you saw what was happening there. What was that? He said, almost like it scared the kid. And he said, I'll tell you what that was. It means you're ruined. That's exactly what Brother Schindler said. It means you're ruined. What do you mean? Because you got a taste of what it was like for God to use you, for God to show up. Let me tell you something, folks. Well, I hope you get this. When that happens, you don't want all this fake smoke and mirror stuff. Not about whether or not men say anything. I mean, man, when God comes down, I mean, you're actually there and it happens. God uses you. Man, it just makes you want to get on your face and say, God, I mean, I've honestly been in meetings where I, to this day, still, I when I talk about it, I say this. I'm humbled and thankful that God allowed me to even be there. Whew. Well, I hope you're feeling something right now. I really mean this. I hope you get hungry for something. You know, who cares? Who cares what people say? Who cares whether or not anybody outside this county knows anything about Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I mean, what matters is God showing up. What matters is God doing a work. And God is saying in these verses, listen, you work it out, but you remember, buddy, in the process of working it out, when things start percolating, you remember it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And man alive, I don't know sometimes when and how and what, and I really don't. I more and more I feel like, you know what, I'm not driving anything. I'm just along for the ride. I mean it. You know, forget this God is my co-pilot. Get out of the stinking seat and make Him your pilot. It's more fun being a passenger than just fighting with Him over the steering wheel. Just get on and let it go. You know, and boy, when you just do that, your heart's right and you spent time on your knees and you've asked for an anointing. And again, I'm not talking about anything spooky. I'm just talking about what ought to be normal Christianity. And I think when visitors walk into a service like that, buddy, pretty soon they're like this. When lost people walk into a service like this, all of a sudden, you know what? Tears are coming down their cheeks because you know what? They feel the presence of God. And let me just say this to you, and we're going to close. I've got several more things in that little verse I want to teach, but isn't this a good place to close? Isn't this a good place? Because we are right now, I feel like God's here. And He's saying, Brother Jerry, Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to get this. Well, I'm just a person that comes in and sits in the pew. Let me tell you something. It's just as important for you to be Holy Spirit-filled and anointed as it is me, and I'm up here preaching. I mean that. I mean it. 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 I'm just an usher. It's just as important for you to be Holy Spirit-filled. You're the first contact person with most of those visitors. What you say, how you conduct yourself, whether or not when they shake your hands, they can feel the power of God and the presence of God in this place, whether or not you're prayed up or not, is a big deal. Oh, Brother Jerry, I don't even get a cent in the morning service. I'm a children's church worker. I go down and corral and chase kids. Let me tell you something. Those kids need to have workers and a teacher in that children's church and primary church and junior church that has God all over them and is surrendered to God. Where those, listen, I'm just going to say this. Those bus kids long-term ain't going to come back because we gave away a lollipop or fed them after one of the services or gave them a taco feast. They're going to come back because they're drawn back by something that they can't explain. They're drawn back by something that pulls them from the inside out, that gets them up when they don't want to get up, and takes over their life. And pretty soon they look around and say, you know what? There's just something that I can't find anywhere else except when I come here. And I don't know what this is, but I want it. I want that, you see. And I think what God's trying to teach us here is this. Listen, you work it out. But as you go, you do it in fear and trembling. You stay scared, young people. I don't care how good you're doing. You stay scared. And by the way, as God allows you to see some things, you know what? When you feel His presence, don't you get puffed up. There's nothing to be puffed up about. Get out on your face and say, God, just thank You for letting me be a part of this. God, I mean, have you ever just driven the bus or driven a van and you're coming in those last couple miles of church and you're looking in that rearview mirror and you know what? You want to just get off the bus. Because you know what? Something amazing happened. Something miraculous happened. Something God happened. You know, you look back at a new family that you've been trying to get on the bus for months or maybe years, and all of a sudden they're sitting there. Well, this is not about running in and trying to brag to anybody. It's about, man alive, God let me, look, God let me do something. This is amazing. This is a miracle. Well, I want you to have that. I want you to feel that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to feel that. I want to have that. I want to have that every Sunday. I want to have that during every Sunday school. I want to have that. Listen, I want to have this, that presence of God on Sunday morning, folks. We're getting ready to go to our prophecy conference. We're getting ready to our end times prophecy conference. Listen, folks, I hope Dr. James shows up and listen, the power of God and what God can do isn't dependent on an evangelist walking in the door. It's dependent on the church of God getting ready in heart and mind and spirit before he ever walks in the door. I want to be a part of whatever happens. I want to be a part of it. And I pray that you do too. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just make us hungry. I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. Lord, just get us thirsty. Just get us hungry. God, just get us hungry and thirsty, God. To want to feel your presence. To want to be a partaker of, Lord, what you're doing. The miracles of God and great and supernatural and amazing things. Just help us, Lord, to say, I just want to be a part of something that's divine, something that's eternal. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir Sunday school teachers, bus workers, children's church workers, nursery workers, our music people, our piano players. I mean, every aspect, every part, every outreach, all the ministries that go home. Lord, I pray, dear God, that whoever we touch and whoever we get around, Lord, they'll sense and feel what I'm talking about tonight. That holy unction that you'll anoint this church with that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We want God to do something. Oh, I want God to do something Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I do so bad. Have you been asking him to do it? Not just for your church or not just for your brother or sister, but for you. Have you just gotten so hungry about this thing that all the silly, petty little nonsense that interferes with what we ought to be just doesn't, it just all of a sudden it don't mean anything or amount to anything. We just want God. Just want God.